We open our Bibles and turn in the Word of God this morning to John 10, John's Gospel account, chapter 10. We're going to read the first 18 verses of this chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. As far we read the Word of God this morning. Our text is found in verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We are the sheep of God's pasture. Jehovah is our shepherd, who David says leads us into green pastures and beside still waters. But we, as Isaiah tells us, are like sheep that have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. According to our own sinful flesh, people of God, you and I turn from the safety and peace of the sheepfold and oftentimes follow in our own sinful ways, leaving the safety of that sheepfold and wandering about in the wilds of this world. Every time we stray from God and from His commandments, which are holy and good, we are wandering in sin, and that's ingrained in our sinful flesh to wander. That emphasizes the fact that you and I need Christ. We need a good shepherd to lead us, constantly to care for us, and we need one who will not only save us from our sins, but also one that will preserve us in that salvation. The passage of God's Word that we consider this morning teaches us that beautiful truth. There's one way, Christ emphasizes, into the sheepfold, or into heaven. And that one way is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus teaches us in verse 7 here of the chapter that we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And then again in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Within that sheepfold, you and I are kept safe. So no man can come to God except by Christ. And no man is kept safe but in Christ. That Jesus is the door into the sheepfold, however, is only one figure of speech that the Savior uses here in John 10. There is another that is of chief interest to us this morning and really is the chief subject of John 10 as well. Jesus uses it in our text where we are told, in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd." So Christ is the good shepherd, and within that sheepfold of Jesus Christ, therefore, we are kept safe. Because Jesus is this good shepherd of the sheep, we are kept in that sheepfold, and because he lays down his life for his sheep, you and I are preserved graciously by God. And it is that idea really that stands on the foreground before us in the passage that we're going to consider also this morning. And that, of course, as it leads us into the great truth of our salvation, something that you and I are reminded of once again through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning. Consider with me Christ's great love for his sheep. Christ's great love for his sheep. In the first place, we're going to consider this morning what it is, what that love is. Secondly, how that love is revealed to you and me. And then finally, how it is approved of God. With that same knowledge, Christ knew God. We find that Jesus Christ, as our Savior, knows our Heavenly Father, and that our Heavenly Father knows him as well. So it is an important fact that we learn in the passage before us, first of all, that Christ is our good shepherd. In Lord's Day, or in Psalm 23, we learn, of course, that Jehovah himself is our shepherd. So the question rather naturally arises in connection with the passage that we have before us now this morning. Why would Christ call himself that good shepherd if God was that good shepherd? Do you and I have two distinct shepherds or separate shepherds who lead us unto God? Both God himself, Jehovah is my shepherd, and Jesus Christ? Well, the answer to that question, of course, is really not that difficult for us to understand. We know that God definitely is our shepherd, but we also know definitely that Christ is our shepherd. But that is a figure that in the Bible that really compares to other figures as well. For example, in the Old Testament, of course, the church is called the bride of God or of Jehovah. In the New Testament, the church is called the bride of Jesus Christ. So that both God and Christ in the Scriptures are referred to as the bridegroom and the church being the bride. Or again, we sing in the Psalms, don't we, that Jesus Christ or that God is king forever. God is king, and yet in the New Testament we read of the fact that Jesus Christ is king. Both are king. So also we can properly understand where God is the good shepherd and that Jesus Christ himself is the good shepherd. But how is that possible? First of all, because Christ is God. In these discourses that are recorded for us here in John 10 that were spoken by Jesus at the feast or on different feast days, we find that that was always Jesus' emphasis, that he was himself God. We didn't read it, but in verse 31 of the chapter that we read, following the discourse that we have here, we find that the Jews picked up stones in order to kill Jesus. Why? Because when Jesus called himself that good shepherd, he was comparing himself to Jehovah. Jehovah was that shepherd in the Jewish mind. So he was equaling himself with God. And that's why the Jews hated him. That's why they picked up stones and they tried to stone him, because he made himself equal with God. But there's another reason Christ can be called the shepherd of the sheep too. He is shepherd because that is exactly what God sent Jesus into this world to be. Christ was appointed by God from all eternity to be the shepherd of his sheep, God's sheep. A little later in his discourse with the Jews, Jesus points out that God gave his sheep to Jesus. God took his sheep and he gave those sheep to Jesus to be that shepherd. He entrusted the sheep into the care of his son. And God did that, of course, out of his great love for his son. And that's revealed to us in verse 15 of our text. As the Father knoweth me, Jesus said, even so know I the Father. Christ is known of his Father. From eternity, God triune has known Jesus Christ. That knowledge God had for Christ was not simply a mere conception of Christ in God's eternal counsel for all things. God knew Christ intimately. Intimately. He knew Christ as his only begotten Son. God's knowledge of Christ was a knowledge of deepest and purest love. It was the knowledge that a father has of his own son, the son of his own bosom. And in that eternal knowledge, the triune Father ordained that that son was now going to be the head of his church, or to use the figure that we have before us in this passage, he ordained his son to be the shepherd of his sheep. And in that knowledge, we find that Christ was eternally chosen as the shepherd, therefore, of God's elect people. With that same knowledge that God knew Christ, we even know that Christ knew God. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, Christ tells us. I know the Father too. So, in the most strong and affectionate manner, Christ knows his Father and loves him, just as the Father knows his Son and loves him. Christ is the Son of God's bosom and knows God because, well, God is his natural Father. And just as sons love their fathers, so also we know that Jesus Christ loved his Father. Who better than to be appointed by God to be the shepherd of his sheep than his own Son? The Son that he loved and the Son that loved him too. The Son that he knew and the Son that knew him too, intimately and personally. So great, therefore, is God's love for Christ and Christ's love for his Father that we're going to find a little later on in our sermon. He's willing to lay down his life for the sheep of his Father. So Jesus is that good shepherd, our good shepherd. And he does the work of a shepherd. He's our divine provider. He leads us by his Spirit into the green pastures of God's Word. And we're fed by our Savior every Lord's Day when we sit in church. And that Word of God that comes to us is the voice of our Good Shepherd. So the Good Shepherd is the one, of course, who is leading his sheep. He's providing for them. He feeds us objectively by his Word, and he feeds us subjectively by the work of the Holy Spirit now in our hearts. And we receive the blessed promise, don't we? The blessed promise of the gospel, that this shepherd will never forsake us in our needs. He's always watching over us. He's always caring for us. Christ is our protector. Not only our provider, but he is our protector as well. No man, we are told in this same discourse here in John 10, no man will ever pluck us out of his hand. And when the waves and the billows of this present life flow over us, when we are depressed, when we are hurting at times in our life, when we suffer affliction in our lives, Christ is there. And as our shepherd now, he carries us in his arms and he keeps us safely in his care. He's our good shepherd. He performs all the work of a shepherd, even, mind you, hunting you and me down when we stray and bringing us back into the fold once again. Christ reveals to us his great love for you and me every day of our lives, because he's our shepherd and we, his sheep, experience that care too, don't we? In adversity and want, we know that our good shepherd is always with us. Beautiful figure that the scripture uses here. But what truly stands out in the passage we consider this morning is this: Christ's great love for his sheep too. Rather striking that that's how he begins our text also in verse 14 when he says, I am the good shepherd. He says this of his relationship to you and me: I know my sheep and am known of mine. Now, we just considered this. The Father knows me, even so I know the Father. Well, now the figure changes a little bit and Jesus says, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So there's this intimate knowledge that he's speaking of here in the Word of God too. That means a couple of things, that Christ knows his sheep. First of all, it means that Christ knows who his sheep are. He knows exactly who his sheep are. You see, God has given to Jesus Christ the sheep of his fold. God has chosen from eternity a specific number of sheep, and those sheep are his. Jesus himself makes reference to that blessed truth a little later on in John 17 in the prayer that he offers before God there. Verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Or in verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. There's an emphasis there. God has given him his sheep, his people, and he gives to them life eternal. A little later on in that same chapter, we find in the requests of verse 9 and 10, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. So he's speaking there specifically of a certain number of sheep. And Christ knows who those sheep are. God gives to Christ each one of those sheep. And each one of those sheep belongs specifically to his sheepfold. A little earlier on in John. In John 13, 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Yeah, we're talking about limited atonement here. That means, of course, that the Arminian conception of election and salvation in Christ is dead wrong. The Arminian contends that God has not chosen a certain number of people unto salvation. God he says, simply knew from eternity that there were going to be some people who would come to believe on Jesus Christ. And when he discovers who they are, then these are the ones that he would save. Jesus didn't die for a certain number of sheep, but on the contrary, Jesus died for everyone in this world without distinction. He lays down his life for everyone. And that means Christ really did not know exactly what sheep belonged to his sheepfold. To be a sheep of Jesus, after all, depends on whether a person decides to accept Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. But who knows who those men might be or women might be? That's the Arminian conception, you see, of salvation and election. And that denies exactly what Jesus teaches us here in the passage that we have before us. Jesus says in our text, I know my sheep. I know them. Their names are written in my book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And I lay down my life for those sheep, not for everybody. I lay down my life specifically for the sheep of my sheepfold. I die for them. And for every one of them that I have died, I will give unto them eternal life. That's what it means that Jesus Christ, in the first place, knows his sheep. Secondly, Christ knows his sheep with the same intimate knowledge that Christ knows God and that God knows Christ. He knows his sheep personally. He knows their natures. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their failures and he knows their strengths. He knows their hearts. He knows their souls. Of course he does. Christ is our flesh and blood, isn't he? Christ is a man who understands the weaknesses and infirmities of his own sheep. He knows them. Christ knows you and me, beloved saints. Christ knows us intimately. Everything about us, Christ knows. And in that knowledge, he loves us. We have been given to him of his Father, and we, his sheep, are his most cherished possession. We are a part of his own heart and soul. And neither is this simply a general kind of love that Jesus Christ has for all of his sheep together. Christ loves each one of his sheep. Christ knows each one of us by name, and he calls us by name. And the sheep know that too. We know Christ. We know Christ intimately. Because Christ loves us, and he has laid down his life for us. For me, for you. What? He loves me. He loves me, a sheep that's constantly straying in my life into ways of sin. He loves me, in whose flesh there is all of that iniquity. He loved me. He loves me who deserves only to be despised and chastened by him. Yes, beloved saint, he loves each one of his sheep with an eternal love, a love that will never end, a love that will never be taken away. We are his sheep. And that's why we love him too. That's why we know him too as our Savior. God, by his grace, has worked in our hearts a knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. We know what he has done for you and me. And as a result of that, we love him too. And we follow him because of that hireling. We aren't going to follow a hireling, a person that's hired to take care of the sheep in the absence of the good shepherd. Jesus says the sheep don't follow that hireling. They don't know his voice. They don't know him because he doesn't have the love for them like the shepherd does. But when we hear the voice of Jesus Christ, we follow him because we love him. He's our life. He's our strength. He's our everything. Everything. So that love is mutual. Now, we could say in this particular passage of God's word, of course, that Christ loves his people because he has shown that. In other words, that love of Jesus Christ is revealed to you and to me. And Christ informs us of that in the word of God before us this morning too. He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. That is how Christ's great love for you and me is now revealed. He is a shepherd. And that shepherd has laid down his life for his sheep. Good shepherd will do that, you know. We know that from the example of David himself. Two different times, wild animals had come while he was a shepherd, taking care of his father's sheep. Two different times, wild animals came in order to steal the sheep, to kill the sheep. One time a bear, one time a lion. And David went out and he fought against those wild animals for the sake of his sheep, to save those sheep. He jeopardized his own life fighting a bear or a lion. He jeopardized his own life for the sake of those sheep and those lambs that were following him. Now, of course, God protected David so that he was able to destroy or at least chase away those wild animals. But our good shepherd was sent into this world by God specifically for this reason: to lay down his life for his sheep. Why was Christ called to do that? Well, people of God, because we were lost in our sin and in our unbelief. We walked in the deep ways of sin. And you and I do not have to look far behind us into our past to discover those sins, because we see that same sin still in us now as redeemed saints. We as sheep still stray. But when we walked in disobedience to the commandments of our God, a just God, then that incurred upon us the wrath of God against our sins as well. We became guilty before him and worthy, therefore, only of the punishment of sin. We do not deserve to be sheep in God's sheepfold or in Christ's sheepfold. We do not even deserve to be preserved in that sheepfold. By our sin, we deserve to be cast out of the flock of God even now. That means if we were left by God to our sins, to ourselves, even at this point, then we would be eternally lost in those sins. But it was for that reason God sent his Son into this world to lay down his life for his sheep. And it was only the only way that God's sheep could be delivered from that guilt of their sin that was upon them. It was the only way to lay down his life for you and me, to deliver us from death and from hell. That's where we were headed on account of our sins. But it was also, and we ought not to forget that now, it is also by means of that blood of Jesus Christ that we are preserved even now in that sheepfold as God's sheep. Take away Jesus Christ, no more preservation, but we are preserved, even as sinners, in the sheepfold because of our good shepherd. So Christ, as our good shepherd, laid down his life for us. And he did that willingly and cheerfully. He offered his own life in our stead, on our behalf. He suffered his body to be broken. He suffered his blood to be shed for you and me, his sheep. He it is that sunk beneath the billows of God's anger against our sin. And he bore it for every one of his sheep. Every one of us is God's sheep. Christ took our sins on him, and he bore those sins, died the eternal death, died the agony of hell, which we deserved, and if left to ourselves, still deserve. And we, his sheep, you and I now sit safely, quietly, protected, and surrounded by that great love of our good shepherd. In that way, through the death of Christ, we as sheep have been delivered from the anguish and the torment of hell. The price of sin has been paid. The righteousness that Jesus Christ earned on the cross, God has imputed or credited to you and to me. So he saved us. And by his death brought us into the sheepfold. What other shepherd has ever done anything like that for his sheep? That's why he's a good shepherd. A good shepherd. He did his job perfectly. And he did that job unquestioningly. No rebellion in Jesus Christ. He came to do God's will, and he willingly performed that will of God. In perfect obedience to the demand of God, Christ laid down his life for you and me. He's a good shepherd. How much he must have loved us at that cross to be willing to lay down his life for us. That's how Christ is good. To you and me who are undeserving, he's good. But in this too, that goodness of our Savior is revealed to you and me. Not just that Christ did everything perfectly as he went the way of the cross, but that he is in fact good to us. He's kind and he's merciful toward you and me, compassionate toward us in his great love, and that makes him good, so very good for you and me. And in this, we see that not only Jesus Christ as our shepherd is good, but we see that Jehovah, God, as our shepherd is good too. Do not forget that Jesus Christ received of his Father God's divine approval upon the work that God sent him to do. It wasn't as if Jesus Christ came and in desperation performed this great work against this angry God who hated you and me. God, in his great love for his flock, his sheep, sent this good shepherd into this world to die for you and me. We speak of Christ's love for us, sure. But let's not forget of God's love for you and for me as his people. God, in his great love for his sheep, has entrusted to Christ their care. And for that reason, too, God is good. We're saying that he was a great shepherd, but God is a good shepherd to you and me too, because by means of Christ's resurrection from the dead, God himself gave his divine approval upon the work that Jesus performed on his behalf. So much so that Jesus could say now in verse 17 of John 10 here, "Therefore doth my Father love me." Why? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He loves me because I died for my sheep. Our salvation is secure. And that gives us perfect joy and perfect peace as we come to the table of the Lord this morning. We, the flock of Jesus Christ, sinners in ourselves, sheep who are prone to stray. We come before our God this morning in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we partake in communion with him. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful unto thee for thy word, and we realize that that word that we have received in this morning hour now upholds and supports the sacrament. Without that word, then our sacrament would be useless. We pray that that word, therefore, might dwell richly in our hearts as we read the form and we partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in this morning hour. Keep our hearts that we might be edified and strengthened and built up in our faith. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. For the administration.